You have applied one of those first three wisdoms to your life, and now as a result of that, you are on the other end of the situation. It might have been a sin. It might have been a decision that you had to make, whereas one point you were standing on this side of it, and you tried to figure out, do I need Hokmah? Do I need B'nai? Do I need Sakal? You know, which one do I need? And then you decided which one you were going to use, and you applied it to that situation. And as a result of applying it to that situation, you're on the other side of that situation. The situation has been dealt with, and you've seen it work out for the glory of God, and now on the other side, you're a lot wiser.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of part one of The Gift of Wisdom, How to Have the Wisdom of Solomon. So let's rejoin Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of The Gift of Wisdom, How to Have the Wisdom of Solomon.
We're going to have, I'm going to tell the deacons, we're going to have a table filled with Icy Cold and Bengay and all the other stuff. You know why is that? Because wisdom says. Yeah, I remember when we first moved into the gym here, you know, we were playing basketball. And we were running up and down the court with some young brothers, man. And I'm, in my mind, I still think I can hang with them, you know. And somebody threw the ball to me, and I caught it, and I threw it, and my body started to lean like this. Now, you know, back in the day, you can pull out of it, right, and come on back. My body was leaning, and in my mind, I kept saying, I'm coming out. And I must have went on for about 10, it seemed like a minute. I'm coming out. Next thing I know, man, I was laying on the floor. My mind was saying, come back. But my body said, we going down. And Bill Moore was there, and he was refereeing. Now, everybody, they done went, and they still playing, and Bill Moore came, man down. See, wisdom. Wisdom lets you know that there are certain things that you can't do anymore. And so you have to apply wisdom to the situation. And so just don't grow old. Don't just grow old, but grow wise. Let me move on in the message today. And I don't think I'm going to get through the whole thing, but let me just get through what I can. You know, as we look at the book of Proverbs, we see that there are a couple words that wisdom personifies. And what we have actually is four Hebrew words. And once again, I'm not trying to make you Hebrew scholars, but I just want to show you the different flavor of the words for wisdom found in the book of Proverbs. I mean, because this is a powerful teaching. This really is a powerful teaching. And that at some point in time, we will find ourselves exercising these different types of wisdom. And so it becomes important to understand what this is. And if you want to look at your notes that have been passed out, you can follow along with us. The first one is what the Hebrew term Hokmah. That's the word, one word that's used for wisdom. And that's used in Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4, to talk about wisdom. Now, what is this kind of wisdom? This is the skill to apply biblical knowledge, moral intelligence, ethical principles, and common sense to everyday life situations. That when you sit down and make a decision, there ought to be some skill that you have. You ought to have the skill of being able to apply the biblical principles, the ethical principles, the common sense. You ought to pull that all together, and you ought to sit down and make a decision. Take all these things. See, what Hokmah is taking the biblical knowledge, the ethical principles, the common sense, all these things over here, these skills that you have. And then you take these skills and you transfer them over here to this situation. And as you transfer them to this situation, that's wisdom. That's wisdom. You know, it's let's read Proverbs 23. Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4. through wisdom, through chokmah, a house is built, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with precious and pleasant things. It's through chokmah, through wisdom, through the skillful ability to be able to apply wisdom to a situation. Now, this is the problem, is that many of us, instead of using our skills, because God has given you skills, all of us, you know, you might not be a Bible scholar, all right, watch this. You might not be a Bible scholar, but everybody in here got common sense, all right? All right, some of y'all looking at me like, huh? What you talking about, Willis? Everybody in here has common sense. So what does chokmah say? Chokmah says you ought to be able to take, if you got some biblical knowledge, if you just memorize a few verses or biblical, you ought to be able to take the biblical verses, you ought to be able to take morality, the principles of morality, and realize that, you know, as a moral individual, you don't steal. As a moral individual, you don't commit fornication. As a moral individual, you don't lie. As a moral individual, you don't backbite. As a moral individual, you don't covet. As a moral individual, you're not jealous. You take the morality, you take the biblical, you take the common sense, and you pull those skills and you apply it to the situation. And you make a decision based on that. That's chokmah. That's wisdom right there. And the fact of the matter is that I heard the story about this guy who was a builder, and he was kind of poor. And you know, people tried to help him out, and he had a family, and they tried to help him however he could. And this rich man asked him to build a house for him and said that I'll give you X amount of dollars to build this house. And so this guy figured that, well, you know, I can build the house for so much, and I can cut corners here and there. And he just gave me this money and told me to do what I want to do with it so I could take, you know, whatever's left over for myself. And so he cut corners, building the house, didn't use the best material, didn't hire, you know, the people that were the most knowledgeable. He built this house. And after the house was built, and he told the man that the house was built, the man came over and he took the keys, and he handed them to the builder and said, this is your house. He shortchanged himself. He cut corners, and he shortchanged himself. And you know what? God's people do the same thing. We cut corners. We cut, instead of using wisdom, young people, instead of using wisdom in this situation, you let your friends pressure you into doing something that you shouldn't be doing. And so what have you done? You've cut corners. You haven't taken the wisdom that God has given you, the common sense that God has given you, the morality that God has given you. You cut corners, and now you're living in the house that you built. Built based upon the fact that you shortchanged the principles and the skillful living that God has given you. You've cut corners on the wisdom. We want things instantly. We want it right now. And God says, look, you know, wisdom comes. Wisdom is exercised as you seek it, as you implement it in your life. Don't cut corners, young folk. Please don't cut corners when you deal with peer pressure. Don't just throw your wisdom out the window. Man, bring it with you. Bring your wisdom with you into that situation. Older folks that are here today, don't cut corners. Don't cut corners. Bring whatever you have. Bring the wisdom that God has given you, the skillful application of what God has given you. Bring it into that situation and make decisions that are wise and that are meaningful. The second Hebrew word that he uses here is the word that's called musar. And that's found in Proverbs 19:20. And this is wisdom that comes through discipline, chastisement, or correction. You know how you get this wisdom? You get this wisdom one of two ways. Either somebody sits down and instructs you in this wisdom, or watch this. Or you get it from the school of hard knocks. You get it from the school of hard knocks. A baby gets this kind of wisdom. A child gets this kind of wisdom. When they walk into the kitchen and they go over by the hot stove and they put their hand. We know none of y'all gonna let them put it on the top, right? We know that. All right, praise God. We got people that got some hokuma, common sense, right? But you know, they might end up touching the side, and it might be a little warm. And they, oh, well, what do they know? I better not do that again. Why? Because I, as a result of me touching that, I got some what? I got some musar. I got some musar. I got some wisdom. You know, I've learned, you know, man walked down the street, fell in the hole. Next day, man walked down the street, fell in the hole. Some of y'all know where I'm going. Next day, man walked down the street, fell in the hole. The fourth day, man crossed over on the other side of the street. He got some musar, right? He got tired of falling in the hole. And so there are some things that we learn from experience. And you know, people say that those who forget the past and the past failures are doomed to repeat it. And if you don't learn something. You know, learn something. And you know, not only can you learn something from your own mistakes. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Holy Ghost, this morning. Help me, Holy Ghost, to take this to somebody's heart. Somebody needs to hear this morning. Not only can you learn from your own mistakes, but you can get some musar from somebody else's mistakes. All right? So, you know what? Now, I'm going to say this now. I'm going to get in trouble. Let me go ahead and say this. You know, I'm going to get in trouble, but I'm going to say it anyways. Some of the young ladies that have had children out of wedlock, y'all need to be talking to some of these young girls. You need to be imparting some wisdom to them somewhere to say, look, it might have been fun making it. And then you know what? You might say, some of y'all might not say, and that wasn't even fun. But look what I'm dealing with now. Look what I'm dealing with now. See, you got some musar to transfer over to some of these young ladies. You need to get in one. You need to see Brother Van and get one of these youth groups and talk to him. Can I share my testimony about how hard it was? Can I share my testimony about what I went through in that situation? See, you know, it's, there ought to be some lessons that are learned. You know, we ought to have some crackheads that will want to sit down and talk to some young folk and tell them about what it was like. Yeah, you know, I might have felt good, but this is what I had to deal with. Didn't know where I was going to sleep, didn't know what I was going to eat, didn't know what I was going to do. See, that's musar, where you can learn from experience. Hokuma is where you take what you have, the common sense, the biblical principles, the moral principles. You take those and you apply them to the situation. Musar is when you learn from the school of hard knocks. You know, some of y'all, I know we don't like to talk about stuff like this these days, but our grandparents didn't have a problem using a phrase like this, a hard head. A hard head, all right? And some of y'all know how to finish that statement, all right? A hard head. And if you don't know how to finish it, see me afterwards, and I'll tell you. But that's musar, to learn from the mistake that you made. And then there's a fourth one, and this is called b'nai. And this is kind of goes back to what we talked about last week, but this it comes from a Hebrew root that means to distinguish or to separate. This word right here is actually discernment. It means to have discernment. Look at Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 14. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 14. And here in verse 1, wisdom is praising itself. It says, does not wisdom cry? And understanding pour forth her voice. And this whole chapter is talking about wisdom. And then look what it says in verse 14. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am, the word understanding is the word bana or b'nai. I am b'nai. I have strength. To be able to discern what's right or what's wrong in a situation.
We're going to take a break at this time from the message. Do you know anyone that's dealing with addictions? Have you been a part of a broken relationship, or do you know of relationships that are broken? Do you know someone who is giving care to another person, or maybe you yourself are a caregiver? Have you ever wanted to know how to minister to someone dealing with homosexuality? And as we look at our world today, there's crisis situations happening all the time. Do you know how to intervene in a crisis? Well, I just want to let you know, if you fall into any of those situations, your cry has been heard. We are having a biblical counseling conference here at Bethany Baptist Church on April 11th from 8:30 to 4 o'clock. We will be using the Bible to address these issues and help you to understand how you can integrate the scriptures as you minister to people dealing with addiction, broken relationships, people who are caregivers, people who are trying to understand homosexuality, and people who are dealing with a crisis. That we're going to show you how to use the Bible as a layperson to be able to minister to the glory of God. So why don't you come and join us for this biblical counseling conference on April 11th from 8:30 to 4. For more information, you can call 412-246-4463. We look forward to being with you on April 11th. God bless you as you listen to the rest of the broadcast.
As I said last week, there are some situations that are cut and dry. For instance, if you're in a band, all right, and you're trying to figure out when y'all practicing, and you know you got a big gig coming up over the weekend, and you know that you need to be practicing, and then somehow, you know, you knew about this for a month that y'all needed to be practicing because you got this big gig coming up. And come Thursday, before the night you're going to play, you just happen to go over to one of your friend's house to ask them, when are we going to practice for the gig? And you find everybody there from the group with their instruments practicing. Well, you ought to be able to discern something from that situation. And what is it that you should be able to discern? They don't want you in the group. They don't want you. You're not supposed to. So, you know, you don't have to hit me over the head with a ton of bricks. I get the point. Well, that's what discernment. Now, see, that's when you get there, okay? When you get there and you see them practicing and you find out, you discern from that situation that they don't want me. But, you know, there's another type of discernment, okay? You know what that is? To know before you before you even get there. That somewhere in your spirit, oh, somebody help me. Somewhere in your spirit, before you even get there, you discern the fact that they don't want you in the group. You didn't have to go see it. You didn't have to go see them practicing. You didn't have to go see them with their instruments. There was just something that came in your spirit and told you that they didn't want you there. And that's discernment. I love the story that I heard of this wise old man. And there was this young boy, and he was going to try to test this man. And he said, I know what I'll do. He said, I'll go to this man. And he said, I'm going to have something in my hand. And I'm going to ask him to tell me what it is I have in my hand. So he went and got a real small bird. And he put it in his hand. And he went up to the wise man and said, hey, you think you're so wise? You're supposed to be the wisest man on earth. Tell me what I have in my hand. And the man said, you have a bird. And the boy said, oh. He said, well, tell me whether this bird is alive or dead. And the boy figured that if the man said that the bird was alive, then he would squeeze it and kill it. If the man said that the bird was dead, then he would let it go because it was alive. And as he held the bird, and he said, come on, tell me, is the bird dead or alive? And the wise old man said, it's whatever you want it to be. That's discernment. That's discernment. To look past the outward circumstances and to be able to see what is going on in the situation. And I thank God that some of God's people in the body of Christ have that ability to be able to look beyond the facade, to be able to look beyond the outward circumstances, and they're able to look to the heart of the matter and tell what the situation is. That's discernment. And Solomon says that you can have this kind of discernment. And I'm going to close with this. The fourth type of wisdom is what the Hebrews called sakal. And this was, now notice, and I like this right here. This was, sakal was when you exercised chokmah, b'nai, and sakal. When you took the first three and you exercised them, and then as a result of you exercising one of the first three, you become a wise individual. That you're a lot better off because you have exercised one of those first three wisdoms. You have applied one of those first three wisdoms to your life, and now as a result of that, you are on the other end of the situation. It might have been a sin. It might have been a decision that you had to make, whereas one point you were standing on this side of it, and you tried to figure out, do I need chokmah? Do I need b'nai? Do I need sakal? You know, which one do I need? And then you decided which one you were going to use, and you applied it to that situation. And as a result of applying it to that situation, you're on the other side of that situation. The situation has been dealt with, and you've seen it work out for the glory of God, and now on the other side, you're a lot wiser. Opposed to me making a poor decision, me not applying wisdom, and now me standing over here dumber as a result of this decision that I made. And so this is a culmination of those three. In Proverbs 19, in verse 10, verse 19, and I'll close with this right here. Proverbs 10, in verse 19, it says, in the multitude of words there lacketh not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. You know what he's saying? If you run your mouth, you're going to show that you're a fool. So here I am on this side, running my mouth, just talking a bunch of foolishness, not pulling on any wisdom, no wisdom at all. I'm just talking crazy, talking foolish, just jibber-jabbing a bunch of foolishness. All right, then this situation is over. What am I going to be on the other side of that? A fool. A fool. But if I exercise wisdom on this side and I keep my mouth shut and I exercise wisdom on the other side of that, what will I be? I'll be wise. The fruit of wisdom. Man, I really wanted to get into this. This next part is really rich. You know, when we talk about how to increase in wisdom, let me just give you, you know how they give a little preview of next week? Let me give a little preview. All right. One way that you increase in wisdom is that you got to have a teachable spirit. Now I'm gonna go into a lot of detail next week. You got to have a teachable spirit. The Bible says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, and learn." So I can't learn anything from my ant. That ant can't teach me anything. Well, see, then you know what? Right there, you don't have a teachable spirit, and you're gonna be a fool. You know, there's another commercial for next week. Somebody finish this for me. He that hangeth with wise men is. Look at your friends. If you're hanging around with a bunch of fools, that's an indication of what kind of person you are. All right? And we're not talking about your friends in church now. Somebody said we're not. All right. So give you a little commercial for next week. He that hangeth with wise men is wise. That's why I like hanging around with myself. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Amen. So, you know, as we continue, next week we're going to talk about how do you increase in wisdom? How do you gain wisdom? How do you grow in your wisdom?
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were enlightened by today's teaching. Join us next time for the first half of part 2 of The Gift of Wisdom, How to Have the Wisdom of Solomon. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of today's teaching, The Gift of Wisdom, How to Have the Wisdom of Solomon, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request The Gift of Wisdom, How to Have the Wisdom of Solomon, or program number 080720. Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request The Gift of Wisdom, How to Have the Wisdom of Solomon, or program number 080720. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208.